caught between the bird and the bureaucrat. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheath, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principal Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
It's great to be with you, Barry. Good to be recording a new episode of Principles and Policies.
Well, Chuck, I would say that it is a good thing to be recording the episode, except for the fact that today's episode is one that we really didn't want to record. As our listeners who've been with us for any length of time know, one of the things that Chuck and I get the pleasure of doing is being part of Camp American, our summer camp for youth ages 12 and up, to help teach them the biblical and constitutional foundations of our great country. And if you've listened to our program, you've heard excerpts and teachings from some of the great speakers that we have at camp, including Tom DeWeese, Dr. Michael Kaufman. I think there's even a guy by the name of Chuck Michaels and maybe some straggler by the name of Barry Sheets that we've played every once in a while, too. And we have a really good time every year, the third week of June, having this wonderful summer camp. That's the reason why it's so difficult for us to do this program today. And Chuck, I guess we just should go ahead and we'll lay the news out on everybody and then we'll fill in the backstory.
Well, the news is that Camp American for this year is canceled, although we are planning on doing it again next year. And it's canceled not because we don't have any money or we don't have any students or we just don't feel like doing it. We always feel like doing it. The reason it's canceled is, well, directly because of the symbol of the United States of America.
Yes, and we're not saying that we've decided to become anarchists or we've renounced our citizenship and so we're going to start calling it Camp Duchy of Grand Fenwick or anything of that nature. But, Chuck, you're right. Our troubles are brought on by the nesting habits of the American bald eagle. And although I wish this was just a science episode that we were teaching, it's really not. It's more of an episode of what happens when good intentions run afoul of federal regulations.
Oh, I like that, run afoul. That's right. Nothing like a good pun to keep things rolling right along. We always planned Camp American far ahead, and I've had the curriculum made up now since, oh, I don't know, gosh, January or February. At least I had the speakers lined up, and we working along as we always do. I've had the schedule set up for, I don't know, 3 weeks or so. So we know when the speakers are going to fly in and who's going to fly out when they're going to speak, how many days we have them for, what kind of accommodations they need, the whole nine yards. Some speakers stay in camp. Some speakers stay in the Pottawatomie Inn, which is a hotel there on the campgrounds. There are speakers that like all kinds of different things, so we accommodate that as much as we can. And, of course, it's difficult but not impossible to fly into Fort Wayne, Indiana, because, believe it or not, Fort Wayne's airport is an international airport. What that means is that there's a customs office there, believe it or not, in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Now, how often it's open, who knows? And apparently they have international flights out of there. Where do they fly internationally? I don't know. Canada, maybe? But nonetheless, that's an international flight. So we have this all set up. I'm doing all the work. And Wednesday of last week, I get a call from the park. We're in a state park, Pokagon State Park, there in Angola, Indiana. And I get a call from the park and said, we're just kind of letting us know that a couple of eagles had taken up residence and were nesting up somewhere near what we call the cabin area, which is on a hill above the main area of the camp. And that's where all the students sleep. And also most of the staff and the volunteers sleep in a cabin up there on the hill. Well, it turns out that there's a federal regulation, Barry. Now, the interesting part about this nice nesting pair of eagles, let me be quite clear that I'm assuming, the same bald eagles, at least one of them, last year. I spotted it flying over camp, and I can remember saying, did you see that? And people would say, what? And I said, well, that was a bald eagle. And really, really, really? Well, apparently, they may have been there last year. The camp seems to be completely unaware of that. In any case, this pair of eagles have nested, and they had eaglets. They actually have a hatchling pair up there. So, apparently, they're telling us, and I'm not sure whether I believe this or not, but there's some kind of a quote-unquote federal requirement that there not be any human activity within, get this, 330 feet. Now, somebody asked me where they came up with that 330 feet, and I said, well, strictly speaking, it's 100 meters. So it's about 328 feet. They just rounded it up to 330 feet. So, in other words, the upper level of cabins where everybody sleeps, or most everybody, are not going to be available for us. But that's okay, because they had gotten special dispensation from the federal government to allow them to rent us the lower portion of the camp. Anybody who knows anything about why they went and got this special permission, that's their bread and butter in many ways. They have to be able to rent that group camp to bring income into the park. So the fact is, what they did tell me was, even though I wouldn't be able to use that upper tier of cabins, which is about 70% of the bed space, they were going to be very gracious and allow me to rent the rest of the camp for full price.
Oh, that's wonderful of them.
Oh, yeah, isn't that magnanimous?
Again, there's bureaucracy for you. We created the problem, so we don't want to fix it.
Let's not give them too much credit. They didn't create anything. As we talked to them, my sister and I, and my sister's the program director, and she's the original founder of Camp America, and we start deciding that maybe there really isn't a problem with the feds. It's based on a conversation that we had with the property director, because my sister and I ended up playing good cop, bad cop with the program director of Pokagon State Park. And by that I mean, at first they sent a flunky to give me the bad news. This poor flunky basically gives me the news, and of course, I being who I am, sort of began to question her sharply. Okay, there's a couple of birds 40 feet up in a tree. What exactly are we going to do to disturb these poor creatures? Obviously, nobody's going to shinny up 40 feet up a tree to get a look at an eagle's nest. And if they did, they would be thrown immediately out of camp by me. We wouldn't have to wait for the ranger.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not into disturbing animals, and especially not a pair of bald eagles, because I know that they're a protected species, and I don't want anybody messing with it. Okay, well, the big idea is that we might disturb those animals, and they might move out and not come back. So my sister and I both asked, okay, so next year, if they come back, we're going to have this problem again. Now, the answer was very strange. No, next year it won't matter, because they'll be used to us and we won't have to have this problem. And I start to smell a rat on that, because as I said, I saw at least one eagle and possibly a pair last year somewhere near the camp, because I saw them swoop in and they were coming in for a landing. They weren't just doing a flyover. They were low tree height, which means that they were somewhere up in the treetops. I turn the thing over to the program director, my sister, and she begins to speak. And basically, it evolved into, it became clear that we weren't going to get any satisfaction, so we had to talk to the property manager. Well, Barry, this thing turned into a deal where it took 2 days. 2 days for them to come up with a discount policy. When we let them know that under no circumstances were we going to take a camp reduced by 70% of the available space at full price. Now, get this argument. We normally rent that camp in the wintertime, and we don't rent the upper cabins because they're not heated, but we get full price. Now, how would you have answered that? Because I know how I answered that.
Well, that's part of the reason why you don't have me doing any of these negotiations, because
yes,
it would not have been pretty.
That's exactly why I wasn't allowed to complete the negotiation, because my first response was, I wouldn't have rented the camp from you for full price without the upper cabins. And basically all you're doing is proving that there's a sucker born every minute, that P.T. Barnum was absolutely correct. So we went on and on and on like that, back and forth. And finally, they come up with a policy. Now, here's what I figured out in the meantime. This poor flunky was calling everybody who's got the camp rented and telling them they couldn't have the cabins. Well, that's a non-starter for a lot of places like us. If you can imagine a group that's got multiple people coming in, and you suddenly told them you're going to cram them all into three buildings. And in fact, Barry, what they offered to do for us, people don't know the layout of this camp. It's one main building where the kitchen and the office and the dining room / lecture hall is. And then there's what we call the lodge, which has three bedrooms in it that have several bunks in them each. And then two, what they call bunk houses that have something like 6 or 8 bunk beds in them. Well, they were going to cram the lodges with more bunks in them. They were going to cram more beds into the lodge, including what we call the front room, which is a place where people sit and do work, and some of the lecturers work on their lectures, and people do all kinds of things. And then they were actually going to shove beds into the office space, into the place where we set up our games. They were going to shove beds into the dining hall.
Oh, that would work very well. Breakfast in bed for the campers.
Yeah, apparently. Of course, there would be no place to have the lectures. Everybody would be able to apparently lay in their bunks during the teaching sessions. These guys appear to have the idea that we were only using that camp as a sleeping space and that we were somewhere else during the entire day. It really wasn't a well thought out strategy. You know, they were telling us they could get 104 people. And normally, the camp capacity is 120. They could get 104 in the lower section of the camp. And my sister and I both sat there and went, "You're insane. That can't be done." So, Barry, the bottom line is we looked at the configuration of the buildings that we had. We looked at the fact that we had volunteer staff, students, donors, and that kind of thing that were going to be coming in, and we couldn't accommodate all of them. And those are the things that pay for the camp and make it work. So we just basically had to withdraw there. And as I've told other people, finding another camp in 6 weeks would be akin to actually discovering the Fountain of Youth.
Well, and Chuck, I want to think about that, because if any of our listeners happen to know a camp that we could get relatively inexpensively for the 3rd or 4th week of June, please let us know as soon as possible, because we really would rather do the camp than not. But if we can't find something else, which you're right, it's next to impossible, we're going to have to postpone it this year.
Well, we've had camps that might be available, but they're an exorbitant amount of money. And the fact is that this camp in Indiana serves our needs very well because it's pretty inexpensive rent-wise. We have a whole kitchen and all that stuff, and we get it for a very reasonable price. And we've priced other camps. They're 5 times as much. So we're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. We are planning to go next year. And if you have any event coming up where Camp American can take a booth and come and promote what we're going to be doing next year, we'd appreciate hearing about that as well, because we'd like to set up a booth, like to give you more information. In fact, if you have a thing where we can do a lecture and give you a sample class from Camp American, we'd very much love that. We love to do that. So let us know, because we'd be more than happy to come in, give a sample class, set up a booth, make DVDs of our classes available on a donation basis. In fact, we have lots and lots and lots of our classes, and they are first rate, available at www.campamerican.com, that you can give us a donation and we'll be happy to send it to you, because we are a 501c3, and you'll get a little receipt that tells you how much of it you can deduct. So that's the beauty, that way of doing it. But you're right, Barry. If you know of a campground that's reasonably priced and not, let's just say, not falling in around our ears, we'd love to hear about it.
Well, Chuck, it's one of those issues that we look at this not as a total setback, but as God's providential plan and timing, that for some reason, when we may never know what that reason is, we were just not supposed to hold that camp this year in that location. So, first and foremost, we hope that the bald eagle pair has a successful nest, and that yes, then that they go and they go off and they find their mates and they find other places to nest other than at Prokagan's group camp. So that's our first prayer. Our second prayer is that all those who were looking forward to camp would not be disappointed by this, but would use it as a means to talk to more people about camp and encourage people and maybe help us find some more locations to hold this camp at. Because, you know, we're not afraid to take it on the road, and we've done that. You've done that. You've been in North Carolina and northern and southern Indiana. There's been other places. We'd love to hold one in Ohio if we could find a camp that was economical and allowed for the amenities of the activities and playtime for the students so that they would enjoy themselves. But I guess what it gets right down to, Charles, is no matter what happens, you can always count on some bureaucrat somewhere to make it worse.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened in this case. Well, I'm looking at the clock. We're out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.